Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by a very dear friend, a friend to this broadcast, Brother Paige Tyler. He is our 12-step embodiment, an embodiment par excellence of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone and everyone in need. Brother Paige, a joy to have you back for the 11th time this year.
Yep, and a blessing every time to be here.
Well, praise God. Now, the ultimate question is, can you be a blessing? And I'm banking you can on an odd number. The 11th.
Oh.
That's an odd number. Are you and you're an odd duck.
Yes, but the
11th. So a negative plus a negative equals a positive.
Exactly.
Right?
And the 11th step is really this is it. This is what we came here for. 11th step. You know? 11th step is a long one. I'll read it all. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And there is
the text of scripture.
The text of scripture.
Let the word of Christ
dwell in you richly.
Colossians 3, one of the great 3:16s of the Bible, by the way.
Yep.
It's not just John 3:16. But there are several, and this is, I think, next in succession of profundity.
And what I say is, let the Spirit of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, let the Spirit of Christ grow in you. This is what we came here for. We are now engaged in actual walking and talking with Christ on a daily basis. He is filling our life, our lives with his presence. He is doing for us what he said he would do with his disciples. You're becoming a disciple of Christ. He is now, all of a sudden, you know what his will is. You're no longer servants, but you're friends. Yes. And he now tells you where he's going and what he's doing. And he's pointing you in the right direction for where you should be.
Well, brother, I know for you, as I believe you know for me, you and I both have an array of relationships. We know lots of people. And we know the distinction between acquaintances, who we value, and friends, who we treasure. And you have a great many friends, by my estimate. I know that I do. I value my friendships beyond measure. To know that I am a friend of Christ's or that he is my friend, that boggles the mind, but it warms the heart.
Yes, it is the most valuable gift you could ever achieve. And what we've done here, we are seeking through prayer and meditation, because that the voice of the Spirit of Christ is that soft, quiet voice that throughout your whole life has been tugging on you to go this way and not that. No, turn here. Don't go that other way. And the loud clanging of what's going on in the world around us tends to drown out the voice of God through the Spirit of Christ. And we have to quiet ourselves, quiet our minds, long enough for us to hear the voice and to get direction, leadership and direction, to feel like we're intimate friends. We have a friend relationship here, which is like he's one of the guys you hung out with in high school. All of a sudden, Christ has become like that with you. I mean, for me, Christ actually, you know, throws a joke in every once in a while. You know, it's like, you know, oh, you thought those guys really had a good idea? You know, like.
Right, right. Well, we know that Christ had a sense of humor. you know, and so he certainly is going to apply it in Israel. I mean, you and I love to laugh together.
Right.
And so Jesus loves to laugh with us as well.
He loves to laugh. He loves the camaraderie. He wants to be your friend. He wants to come alongside you. He wants to walk along the road with you. Walk along the road to Emmaus. He wants to spend that day with you.
I love what he said. Remember what the sisters, Mary and Martha, forgive me, I forget which one was which, but one of them was running around, hustling and bustling, and I don't think Jesus in any way castigated her, but he did say,
was that Martha?
So he said to Mary, who was sitting at his feet, he said to Martha of Mary, Mary's chosen the better course.
Right.
To sit more in. Fruit will come from Mary than from Martha.
Exactly. You know, and from my studies, that Mary was the Mary who was washing his feet.
Could very well have been the same, yeah.
We'll talk about that later. We'll have a theological debate.
We'll hold our own
later.
Personal symposium of two, right?
Right.
Establish the proposition and then the theses, and we'll get it worked out, right?
Right. But, you know, my opinion, that's the same one who will go down in history forever. You'll ever remember her for her acts of washing his
feet. Well, you know, I love in that text, whether you're correct, I would be happy if you were. But I love Mary at the feet, how she took her beautiful head of hair and applied it to drying. Look, I mean, most people don't have nice feet. Let's be honest. I don't mean to, you know. And this was in a day when feet would be filthy, okay? And here she's taking her glory, her crown in glory, and applying it to drying his feet after she had washed them in expensive perfume. That is such a compellingly beautiful act and therefore story.
Yep. And, you know, she had created a bonding friendship with Christ to the point that she adored him.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going here. We're going to create a bonding friendship with Christ to the point that we adore him.
Yes. Well, and I might finish your thought, then I'll add mine. Yeah.
We truly adore him.
Right. Forgive me. I'm jumping over you and I don't mean to. She trusted Jesus. The relationship had reached a point at which she knew that she could trust Jesus. You know, I have a lovely friendship with a very dear lady. She knows she can trust me. And I wouldn't trade that trust in for the world. This Mary, who had undoubtedly been abused by other men, exploited, she knew she could trust Jesus. And that was by virtue of the quality of rapport that had arisen. She knew that she could have an intimacy with Christ by which he would not exploit her. And there's nothing like that to a woman, I think.
Right.
And so to the extent that we have a relationship with Christ, the more we allow that to unfold, the more meaningful and precious it becomes.
Right. And we develop these great relationships. And this step goes on to say, not only do we develop this conscious contact with Jesus, so that means that conscious contact, we know he's there, he knows we're there.
Yeah.
You know? We also begin to develop a prayer life, and we're honing in our prayer. We're praying the way God wants to see us pray. We're not praying the foxhole prayers anymore. Oh God, get me out of this. Oh my goodness. Please don't, you know, save this one. Heal that one. You know, not that we don't pray for these things.
Those are very significant and profound preliminary cries.
Yes.
But they don't stay there.
Exactly. What we're talking about here, this form of prayer is praying specifically for the things that Christ are of Christ, that are the things that he is seeking and that we can that where we can help the kingdom of God grow.
Yeah.
That's a whole different form of prayer. I didn't even know that existed before I got started the walk with Christ.
Well, I'd bring something to our attention, and this was something that the grace of God I learned from my beautiful wife. I fear that most people, and I believe it was true of me, I always valued what God brought to the table and on my behalf. I always honored him. I always respected him. I sought to be faithful to him. But I don't know that I truly enjoyed his company. The Westminster Confession of Faith says that the chief end of man is not simply to glorify God, though that profoundly, but also to enjoy him forever. When we can come to that place, when we enjoy the Lord, we value and love being with him, I think we can say that we've begun this, we've begun the reality of having arrived. But we've arrived at the end of the first segment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, the embodiment of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for everyone, returning for a second round of the great message, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler and I have been addressing step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Paige, we began speaking, and you began to probe more deeply into the realm and need of and for prayer. And when I think of prayer, I think of prayer on several fronts, and I think they're all imperative. Number one, the Word of God does tell us that we're to be praying continuously, which I think means that we're in that continuous conscious contact of and awareness of the Lord. And so we know that if we want to veer left when we should go right, he's going to see us if we go the wrong way, intentionally or unintentionally. If intentionally, he's going to rebuke us. If unintentionally, he's going to rescue us. But so there's that continuous prayerful mode. There are also those times that we need to set aside that are just, whether it's it would be best if it were daily, but regular, consistent times during which we take time exclusively with the Lord. And I might add a third. I experienced this over time, and especially last year as my wife was in her dying state. I've recently gone back to it within another context. Out in the back alley behind our church and our home, I have found God to meet me there. And there seems to be, and you can take this literally or not, there seems to be this anointing so that when I go into that alley, I have this pronounced sense that I'm in the presence of God. It could simply be something internal to myself, or there could be some external reality to it, or both. But when I'm in the presence of God, there's just this, I'm at that place now in life at which I not only can trust him, praise God, but there's something special betwixt us. And just like there's something special betwixt you and your kitty, whenever your kitty gets on your shoulder, which I know he is wont to do, there's something special about it. And I think as we pursue and bring these 12 steps to a culminating order, we discover just how special this whole affair, if you will,
right, respect. Right, and so very important. I have a similar environment. My environment is my car playing Christian music. I used to have a 50-mile drive to get to work. I used to work down in Delaware and lived up in Pennsylvania. And a 50-mile drive every day was a little, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, 2.5 hours, depending on if there was bad traffic. And in my natural page, I spent an hour and a half cursing, swearing, and calling.
Did it make you feel better?
Names. and driving like a maniac. And no, it did not make me feel better at all.
I'd love to. The flesh in me wants to know what those names were, but the FCC and Frank won't allow for it.
And it is in that environment that Christ, you know, when I came to Christ and I started, number one, stop. I wanted to stop talking like that. And it had gotten to the place where the only time I talked like that was when I was in my car. And the Spirit said to me, why don't you put on some Christian music? And this was back in the days of cassette tapes. And I was buying, yes. So I bought some Christian cassette tapes and plugged them in.
I know.
I just dated myself real bad. Up until now, they thought I was a teenager, I'm sure. But I started playing Christian music. And this hour went from the most trying and agonizing period of my day to the most, in a year, to the most fruitful part of my day. And it was in that hour that I had come to start having conscious contact with God. And one of the things that went was the calling, you know, people names in their cars because I was too busy talking to God. And I wasn't in that mode anymore. And so even to this day, when I want to spend some time with God, I go get in my car and put on some Christian music. And that, and in that environment, Christ comes to me. It's our space.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I mean, you have a car cabin, and I have a back alley.
I sound like we can put them together. I can drive my car down your alley. I
mean, and you have done it from time to time. You know, make of this what you will. But I spent many a wee hour of the morning in that alley. It could have been 1 in the morning. It could have been 4:30 in the morning. It varied. But once my wife was asleep and I had cared for her, I would go out onto the back porch. I'd listen to some music. I'd relax a bit, maybe have some toast or some grapes. And then in the wee hours, I'd go into the alley. And God met me there. And this is so interesting to me. Again, make of it what you will. But after she had passed in August of last year, it was maybe early to mid-September. It was around 2:30 on a lovely autumnal day, perfectly still. There was no breeze, blue sky, temperate in terms of the temperature, just a very still, lovely fall day. And I was walking over to the post office, and as I entered the alley, now, I hadn't been back in that alley to pray since Peggy had passed. Paige, as I entered that alley on a still day, I'm telling you, the trees started to rustle. The leaves started rustling. And the only thing that I could construe, and I don't dogmatize it, is that the Spirit of God was saying to me, Brad, I'm still here for you. It was astounding. How else were those tree leaves rustling? Right. That's my interpretation of it. I don't dogmatize it, but I say it to make the point that when you take time on a consistent basis to have those special moments with God, they are worth it. He doesn't forget us, and we will be blessed for it.
And God apparently loves those moments. And he blesses, apparently, those moments. You know, that agonizing drive became a blessing. And then when my job sent me up to start working out of Malvern, which is only 17 minutes away from my house, I actually missed the hour-long drive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Sure.
But, I mean, it had taken its toll on my body, you know. Doing that drive, you know, twice a day, 20 years, can take a toll on your body. And God knew it was time for me to move on. But he will still come to meet me in my car when I put some Christian music on. And I'm putting myself in a position where I'm opening myself up to become ready for God as I understand him today.
Praise God. And I want you to know we're at a place in our lovely little fellowship's life at which those who are truly attentive to the Spirit of God, they're all saying the same thing right now, that we're meeting him every Sunday morning. It's a beautiful, precious reality. I praise God for it. But Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey with the great message, we return for another round in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Tyler, as you will know well by now, the 12-step embodiment. I hesitate to say the word guru simply because we look to the Lord in that respect. Mm-hmm. But Brother Paige, who continuously practices the program or the ministry, becomes an embodiment and as such an example and a model. And I mean this sincerely. Paige and I love good-natured banter, but my respect and love for this man knows no bounds. So, Brother Tyler, I've come to understand you over, what now, 20-plus years, and there's a long way of understanding to go. You still have many aspects of mystique that we need to peel off, you know. With that being said, the phrase in step 11 that I know is always catches us, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. You and I know well that our understanding of the Lord expands and deepens and ripens over time spent with him and in his word and surrendering to his Spirit. So let's talk about this a little bit. As we understand
it. When I first started, I started my walk as a Christian, I was in the 12-step program. And had really started my walk as also a Christian, and my walk in the church. And I wanted to combine the two. I really felt we understand it. Well, everybody knows that's Christ. So why don't we just change that to Christ? I'll just scratch that out in my book and put Christ there. And
you need a lifetime to understand him, don't you?
Right.
You know, well, I mean, let's be honest.
My spirit, while I was ruffling in my grumbling under my breath at everybody else is using God as you understand them, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Well, Paige, so you're saying that you understand me?" I said, "Well, I understand you right now." She says, "Yeah, but do you totally understand me?" "Probably not, Lord," has got to be my answer. She says, "No, you don't totally understand me. And tomorrow you'll understand me a little more. And the day after you'll understand me a little more." That's why that phrase is perfectly fine, because none of us completely understand God.
Well, how many people, you know, I remember Peggy and I sitting with a gentleman in the church. This goes back 20 years. And something was very obvious to us. And so we posed a question to him. It was posed in a very compassionate, nurturing fashion. But we ultimately asked this gentleman, "Brother, do you understand that God loves you?" And he thought for a moment. There was a pregnant pause. And his answer was a very sincere, "No, I don't really know that." Now, this is a man who had been a professing believer for many years. He had some insight into doctrine. He wasn't stupid. He knew what Christianity was about. But he had never been able to connect the dot that meant that God loved him. God loved the world. God loved you and me. But God, he never knew God's love himself. And so for all of our doctrinal rectitude and certitude, for all of our dogmatic convictions, we can have our theological systems. If we don't know that God loves us, we need to go back to the starting gate, because we don't understand him at all.
Exactly. And that's he never got past step three and should have went back to step one and realized that his sin condition, and this is a hard for people to get over there, their sin condition. It's not the sins that they do, because they may be white knuckling it and not doing sin, but the sin condition in their heart is separating them from God. Yes. And they need to do something to tear down the sin, to destroy the sin condition in their heart. In other words, take that stony heart and turn it into a soft heart. And then the Spirit of God can enter in. And that's when you can begin to understand God. That is the beginning, or the Bible calls it, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. That's when you begin. And then you take a whole lifetime walking with God and talking with God. And at the end of that period, I still don't think you know God. You're still going to be amazed when you get there.
It will be astounding, to be sure. But I think of what Paul says in Ephesians 3. I want you to know how high, how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. Now, Paul is using, he's speaking of quality, but he's using quantitative terms. So to learn how high is the love of God, I have to travel high. To learn how long is the love of Christ, I have to travel long. And so forth. There's a lot of traveling to do here, and travel takes time. Your 50 miles a day took an hour or two daily to reach the vast expanse and depth and width and breadth of the love of Christ. That's going to take a lifetime.
Exactly. And it takes a lifetime to consume it. But what we do is we accept that we're never going to understand God completely, but we can understand him better today than we did yesterday. And we can be praying only for knowledge of his will for us. Now, this is a gotcha. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. This is what a lot of people miss. You know, they do the prayer and meditation, but this praying only for God's will. What's your will today, God? And give me the strength.
Well, that's something else now. I mentioned illustratively or illustrative to your point that to understand God, it's going to take time, because just to understand his love for us, to experience it, is a lifetime of growth. I might also say something else, and I do think this is a pitfall. I'm speaking with what I make call pastoral or clinical experience, 35 years worth now, so I have some insight. This is not meant in a derisive way. It's just this is what I see, however. A doctor says that a patient has cancer. He's not meaning to be critical of the patient. It's a diagnosis. So I'm offering this in that vein. My experience has been that for the majority of Christians, sincere professions of faith, honorably spoken and intended, a genuine embrace of the moral code of the gospel provides framework, foundation, praise God, the requisite array of good deeds. They tend to become rather natural to people. Praise God. But we're not called to Christ simply for our own comfort or convenience or advantage. We're called to Christ to enter into the knowledge and execution of his purpose. So, Lord, you've saved me. You've blessed me. Now, how do you want to use me?
Exactly. In other words, as we grow in Christ, we lose less focus on the I and put more focus on the you.
Yeah.
And in this case, the I is myself and the you is God.
Yeah.
So I take the focus off of me and I put it on God. God becomes the primary, I become the secondary. And I seek his will for my life, not constantly ask him to use his power to make my life the way I think it ought to be. That's the way most people pray.
Well, I love how you've put it. Yeah, that's true. And I love how you've put it. You better pray your way in, so you don't have to pray your way out, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's something similar. I can only offer my experience, and it is attested to in the Bible. Pardon the preposition. But whenever I have come to understand what God's will is for me, and I've sought to execute it, the blessings have been incalculable.
Right.
Doesn't mean I might not have to wait for them. Doesn't mean I always understand what's happening. But I can honestly say every turn, 100% of the time in the final analysis, there is a distinct advantage given to me, given that I surrendered to him. You don't do it for the advantage, but the advantage is the fringe benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it makes it all worth it.
Yes.
It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
You do this, your plant grows, you get the fruits of the Spirit. However we look at it, we grow in the Spirit of the Lord. And as we grow in the Spirit of the Lord, we produce greater fruits. And from that comes the fruits of the Spirit, which includes joy, you know, and peace, you know, and a right mind, you know, because when I got here, I'm sorry, I was crazy.
Some of us think you're still crazy, Paige, but that's just our personal, you know, we're not going to hold it against you. It even adds a little spice to life, you know. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return for one final round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, the embodiment of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone and everyone, returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother, I'd like to go back here for a few moments to the biblical text that substantiates the step. So the step reads, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. The biblical text that's applied to substantiate, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16, to which you had it also being filled with the Holy Spirit. Any true devotional writer, theological mind, student of the scripture, understands that the word and the Spirit of God go hand in hand. So as I read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that word of Christ is actually, essentially, Jesus himself.
Exactly.
The Spirit of Christ is essentially, not minimizing the compartmentalization in one respect of the Trinity, but they are one. It is essentially the Spirit of Jesus. So again, we go back to personal rapport and encounter.
Exactly. It is Jesus himself. He says that, you know, if you seek to do his will and obey his commandments, then he and his Father will come and sup with you. Will come and live with you.
I love that. If you love me, if I may give the exact, if you love me, you will obey me. And, well, you're speaking of the motif of dining, but also the motif of indwelling. If you love me, you will obey me. And if you obey me, my Father and I, we will come and we will make even our home with you.
Make our home with you, yeah.
So the making of a home or a sharing of a meal, this is precious, intimate stuff.
Yes, that's the whole, all the other... The nine steps led up to the 10th step where we didn't give up any territory. And the 11th step is where we begin to get the fruits.
Yes. Which means that as we refuse to give up territory, we gave, if I'm using imperfect language, we gave allowance to God to take on greater territory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're not giving up any territory, and every day God takes on more, more territory. And more and more of our heart is committed to God, and we grow in God more and more, and we produce fruits bigger and better and tastier, and we begin to get the benefits of those fruits in our lives. Who in the world would have thunk it that I would be where I am today? Who would have thunk it?
Well, God would have thunk it, right? You know, when I was younger, and I continue to pray this, when I was younger in my ministry here in Conshohocken, I always prayed privately and from our pulpit, Lord, that from this pulpit and from this place, meaning this church, this people, that your word will always be spoken and go forth. That was my fundamental, foundational, cardinal prayer for the church. I now have a counterpart to that. I'm always praying now, and I do this for Christians I know, and I do it for the church as a whole. Lord, that your spirit would be sovereign, that he would extend and expand his sovereignty over and throughout this church and her people. So, one, that the word of God would always go forth, and two, that the spirit of God will be sovereign. With that, like, that's like having, you know, Greg Maddux and Tommy Glavine. You're back-to-back starters for a World Series game.
Exactly.
You know? Or it's like having Big Papi of the Boston Red Sox and Mike Schmidt of the Phillies. They're your 3 and 4 hitters. That's an unbeatable combination to me.
Exactly. And that's and that's what we're putting together here. If you follow these steps as they're laid out and you do them in as thorough a way as you can, because you're never going to do them perfectly, but you can do them as thorough as you can, and you do them with earnestness. When you get to this point, you will be amazed before you're halfway through. You will be experiencing the joy of being in the presence of Christ in your life. And I have seen people who are atheists who have gotten to this point and have said to me, in fact, I have one actually correct me, because I always told him, God bless you, at the end of our conversation. The other day I didn't say it. He says, the conversation was ending. He says, hey, God bless you, Paige Tyler. So the atheist corrected me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Praise God. That's beautiful. You didn't look so good, but he did.
Yeah, right. He outshined me. And it was great. I just loved it.
By the way, and I'm going to make a humorous quip to make a sober point. To those members of this audience who are following the Phillies playing against the Atlanta Braves right now, I ask your forbearance that I make use of the illustration of Greg Maddux and Tommy Glavine. They were great Atlanta Braves pitchers of yore. But that being said, when we surrender to Christ, even those things that perhaps were less palatable to us in an earlier time, we will defer to what God knows, to God who knows best. We may not always understand. And look, Paige, you, I'm sure, will speak to this same effect, not meaning to put words in your mouth. But there are moments we'll come up against something in the Word of God, and it's abrasive to our flesh. We don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
We defer to, because we trust. We defer to what God says and wants because we trust him, because we've learned that he's trustworthy.
Exactly. I'm not going to understand God. There's some things I have to look at and say, don't fully understand that, Lord, but you say it, I'm going to do it because you say it.
Yes.
You know?
And because he is worthy of our trust, we can lend ourselves to his transformative work in our lives, and it will be beautiful.
Right. Exactly. And I have to understand that God's ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And I'll never achieve that level of thinking, at least until I get to heaven. Because he tells me when I get to heaven, I'm going to know it all. I'm going to finally become a know-it-all.
In other words, you're not the genius you tried to make us think you were when you first arrived. We figured it out quickly, not to worry. I mean, we really did. Paige, 20 seconds or less. Final thoughts.
That which is partially known will become fully known. And the final thing is the power to carry that out.
Yeah.
That is the same power. What God is offering you here is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
And Scripture says that he wants us to know that same incomparable power. He wants us to know it, that is, to experience it. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Page. Yep. This is Brad Lacey, Brother Page Tyler. God bless you all. Do take care.